I don't know about you folks, but for me, hearing a lesson such as the one from Luke today is often difficult unless I have sort of a mental map of where this falls in the Gospels or where it falls in the Gospel story. It's difficult for me to really get the full meaning out of it unless I can place it in context. So I'd like to spend a few minutes putting this particular parable in the context of the Gospel story. Typically, the Gospels are not written in strictly chronological fashion. They are not meant to be simply historical accounts. And so where a particular parable or event in the life of Jesus appears is not necessarily properly placed historically in just reading the text through from the beginning to the end. Equally so, in the way the lectionary is set up, it is not simply read from the birth of Jesus through the crucifixion and resurrection in historical order. Very often stories are put out of historical sequence in order to make a point. The story which we read today, this parable, is likely to have been told by Jesus during Holy Week. In other words, after Palm Sunday and before Easter, before Good Friday. It probably happened, this is purely guesswork, but it probably occurred somewhere around Tuesday or Wednesday of Holy Week, which means 2 or 3 days from the crucifixion, this parable was told. To draw the scope a little bit larger, Jesus' ministry has been intensifying. The number of healings, the number of teachings have increased. The number of followers have increased. There are times now when thousands of people are listening to Jesus preach and following him. John the Baptist has been beheaded, was regarded as a great prophet by the people, the same people, many of whom who are now following Jesus and listening to him. Jesus had come into Jerusalem on the back of an ass. The triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, the palms in front of the donkey, the robes in front of the donkey. Jesus had gone into the temple after that and cleansed the temple, thrown out the money changers. He had then healed people in the temple. And so the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the Jewish people, or those who considered themselves the leaders of the Jewish people, went to Jesus and they said, "By what authority do you do these things?" I mean, this man had just ridden into Jerusalem triumphantly, almost as a conqueror. He had gone into the temple and thrown out money changers. He had healed people in the temple. And so these leaders went to him and they said, "By what authority do you do this?" Jesus didn't say, "By this authority." Instead, he said, "You answer me this question first." And this is in Luke 19, the story just before this one. "You answer me this question. John the Baptist, did he baptize from heaven or from men?" It's a tough question for these leaders. And so they talked among themselves and they realized that if they said John the Baptist baptized from heaven, then Jesus will turn and say, "Then why didn't you believe him?" If they say John the Baptist baptized from men, the crowd which is standing around watching this encounter, which includes probably thousands now followers of Jesus, will stone them. So they can't win. If they say John the Baptizer baptized from heaven, Jesus is God. Because he'll say, "Why didn't you believe him?" And remember, John the Baptist pointed out Jesus as the one who was to come. If they say it's from men, then these chief priests and the other leaders aren't going to get away with their necks. They're going to get stoned. And so they say, "We don't know." And so Jesus doesn't help them out of their muddle. Instead, he says, "I'd like to tell you a story. This parable, which you heard today." What's interesting about the parables that Jesus told, and what really constitutes the genius of his telling parables rather than in a sense, laying out laws or rules and saying, this is how the universe is, this is how you are to act. Instead, he tells parables. Part of the genius of that is that those are heard by the hearers differently, depending upon who they are. So let's look at this parable just for a minute and see what this probably meant to these two groups that were here with Jesus, the people who had been listening to him and had been following him and watching this intensification of the ministry, which they didn't know, but which he knew would end that week with the crucifixion and be followed with the resurrection. So there was this great intensification focused on this point about to come at the end of Holy Week. Jesus knew this. The people were around and listening and favored Jesus. The other group here are these leaders of the local religious community, or the leaders of the Jews, the priests and the scribes, Pharisees, the other leaders. And Jesus says, this is the NIV translation, "A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard." Now, in the Jewish religion, there is a ceremony conducted each year called First Fruits. And this is the time after the first harvest when the Jews take the first fruits of that harvest and they bring them to the temple to return them to God. They have said the first fruits of the harvest are always God's. And this ceremony has been going on for millennia, generations. And so this is, the people hearing this story would readily understand who this man was that owned the vineyard. For them, this was God. And the Jews lived in God's vineyard. They were the tenants. And God said, "I want the first fruits," as he had always said. And so he sent his servants, the prophets, to these people. And what did the people do with the prophets? They rejected them and threw them out. Then he sent his son, the heir, in his name, to say, "The Father still wants the first fruits of your service." And Jesus says in the parable, "But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. 'This is the heir,' they said. 'Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours.' So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him," keeping the vineyards themselves, the fruits to themselves, all of the fruits, including the first fruits, which were to be God's. Now, how did the people react to this story? They understood immediately what Jesus was saying to them. They understood the story instantly. They knew that he spoke about the prophets with the servants. They knew he spoke about himself when he spoke of the Son. Their reaction was, "God forbid, may it never be." They were horrified at the prospect that that the Son would die. But Jesus didn't let them off. He pressed on and he said, "Don't you know the scriptures? 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the capstone.'" Now, that is a verse from verse 22 of Psalm 118, well known to the Jews, because for all of their existence, they had been the stone rejected by the empire builders. The Persians and the Egyptians, the other empire builders, had always considered Israel of no account, a small nation, not to be considered. And yet God had made Israel the cornerstone, the capstone of his creation. And so the Jews saw themselves for centuries as this capstone, as that cornerstone. And now suddenly Jesus has thrown this back at them, and the priests and the other leaders realize that he was talking about them. Because what he was saying was, "You are religious empire builders. You have rejected the capstone," him, Jesus. "You have rejected the capstone, the cornerstone, in your own empire building. You have not seen it." Now, unlike the people who, when they heard that the son was killed in the vineyard, said, "God forbid, may it never be," the reaction of the priests was, "We must arrest this man." And they attempted to arrest him, and then realized that the crowd was still there. the very crowd that would have stoned them if they had suggested that John the Baptist's baptizing was for men, and so realizing that the crowd would kill them if they tried to arrest Jesus, they went away to wait for another time to arrest him. Also, very likely, these same priests heard the story of the vineyard in their own way, and heard that the vineyard was the people that they were to care for in God's name. But they had killed the prophets, and they would kill the son when he came. So each of them heard the story of the vineyard in his or her own way. They heard the story of the capstone in their own way, the genius of the parables of Jesus. In a sense, we are still tenants of that vineyard. In a sense, we have rejected the prophets. We reject them today. We reject his son. But though we killed his son, he came back to life. And when he came back to life, he called us again for our first fruits, to return them to God in his service. May our response this time not be his death, but rather the response that he was given by the people when he rode into Jerusalem, which was, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Amen.